A very good morning to you. We have our memory verse earlier on. And the memory verse says, whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he hath both the Father and the Son. Now, what is false teaching? And who is a person who preaches falsehood or false doctrines? The verse tells us very clearly that whoso transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. I hope we know our belief. I hope we are able to identify false teachings and false teachers. On our part, the Bible says that he that abided in the doctrine of Christ, he had both the Father and the Son. We have to uphold, keep belief in the doctrine of Christ. You see, the doctrine of Christ is the central teaching of the Bible. If you reject any doctrine concerning Christ, then we have no pure doctrine. Know the Lord Jesus Christ. Know who he is. He's both God and man, the Son of God, who came to this world. He died for us. He was buried. He rose from the dead. And we must also believe that he is coming back. We believe that he's coming back. It's imminent, soon, at any time. Let's be prepared for the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. This morning, I'm speaking on the topic warning against false prophets. Let me begin by telling you a little bit about cults. What is a cult? An authority on the subject of cult in the last century, that is the 20th century, is Dr. Walter Martin. He has written several books on the subject of cults, and two of his books are used in Bible school, The Rise of Cults and The Kingdom of Cult, written in 1955 and 1965, respectively. Dr. Martin defined cults as a group of people gathered around a specific person's misinterpretation of the Bible. I thought this is a very succinct definition of the meaning of the word cult. Who is that specific person who have misinterpreted the Bible? Well, we do not need to specify a name, but we can call that person a false prophet. When I was in Bible school in the 80s, I was told that there are about 1,600 different cults in the world. Today, there are about 2,500 or 2,500 groups which have the characteristic of a cult. Now, this is according to a website in the internet. I do not think that anyone can give us an accurate number of cult groups. However, I do believe that the figure has risen significantly from the time I was in school. Should we be concerned with the rise of cults? Now, I want to submit to you the seriousness of this matter. I want to offer you several reasons. First of all, the rise of cults also implies that there is a rise in the number of false prophets. I'm told that there are about 2,000 Jehovah Witnesses in Singapore. Now, again, no one can verify this number. However, one thing is sure, that the JWs, in short for Jehovah Witnesses, are still very active in our country. They are knocking doors and distributing reading materials under the guise of the label, the International Bible Students. Sometimes they identify themselves as the Watchtower. Now, I knew a medical doctor who was taken by the sweet talk of this cult in the early days of his Christian life. He spent many hours having Bible study with a couple until one day he shot them with a vital question. Do you believe Jesus Christ is God. Last year, my Sunday school class did a series of studies on the subject of cults in Singapore. We identified about 6 Christian cults in Singapore. Now, we name them Christian cults, or sometimes book says Bible-based cults, because they use the name of Christ and they may carry a Bible. But in belief, they deny the Lord Jesus Christ as God and Savior. 4 of these cults are recognized entities. In other words, they are registered with relevant authorities. They are able to practice their beliefs openly, which are these 4 cults. They are the Church of the Latter-day Saints, or shortly known as Mormons, Seventh-day Adventists, the True Jesus Church, and the Church of Christ. The other 2 cults operating in Singapore secretly are the Jehovah Witnesses and the Unification Church, shortly known as Moonies. And I think you are aware that recently the founder of the Unification Church passed away. One of the modest operandi of cults to win converts is evangelizing the Christians. You see, in school, Bible school, we are taught a missiology principle, a principle in starting a church. Students are told that they should never start a church too close to another church. Some say 2 churches should be 3 kilometers apart. Others say 5 kilometers. Whether it is 3 or 5 kilometers, the main idea is never have another church too close to an existing one. However, I make this observation while I was in the mission field. Now, I got to say that I made this observation in a mission field, right? Because I can't say it for Singapore. You know, Singapore is so small, and we have well over 300 churches. So in a space of 660 square kilometer with 300 churches, of course, you'll find churches that are probably 500 meters apart. Huh? Okay. But in a mission field, I have this observation that the cult groups tend to plant churches very close to an existing church. The underground cult groups target Christians as their audience for proselytations. A Christian website writes, Christians are more likely to join cults than non-Christians. Approximately 80% of the people in cults were once in a conservative evangelical Christian church. Now, this is a sad commentary on the failing of the Christian church to look after its member. I'm quoting from a Christian website. Okay, whether it is a failure of the church, sometimes it may be, sometimes it could be the decision of an individual. The same website shares the reason. And this is what it says. People who are keen or even desperate to know spiritual truth and to have some sort of higher meaning in their life can often be less discerning when it comes to being deceived. A cult can offer easy but false answers to their spiritual questions. Now, I fully agree with what is written in this Christian website, okay? Because I was about to say that many who have joined cult groups in Singapore were once from a evangelical Christian church. Now, just look at all the founders of these Christian cults. Okay. Joseph Smith, the founder of the Mormon Church, was once a Baptist. So they all had some good Christian background. But for some reason that they know, they themselves know, they were deceived, and they started cult groups. The next time when a member of the cult group knocks at your door, or try to strike up a conversation with you in public places, I want you to take note of his or her persistency in reaching out to you. Do not let them deceive you. Thus, you must know your belief. Show them from the Bible the truth. Win them to Christ instead. The second reason why we should be concerned with the rise of cult is the Christian's attitude towards cults. There is a general acceptance of some cults as one of the mainstream Christian churches in Singapore. I'm talking about Singapore. Okay. For example, the Seventh-day Adventist Church, the National Day of Prayer organized by the National Council of Churches included the Seventh-day Adventist and the Roman Catholics as brethren. I have these very old flyers, old, but I kept it as evidence, okay? This is a flyer for prayer of unity, okay, in the churches in Singapore. So you have the 7 days of the week, okay? And that particular year, the prayer emphasis is on unity. And this is what it says. Unity Christ wills, by the means he wills. Okay. And then on Saturday, you have prayer for the mainline Presbyterian churches and the Roman Catholics. On Sunday, pray for the people in the Salvation Army and the Seventh-day Adventist churches. It's all recorded here. Now, pray what? It's important. If you say pray for their salvation, I say amen. Okay, but this is what it says. Pray that in the lives of the members of these churches, there will be a deepening of love for Jesus and a marked growth towards holiness in heart and life. Now, how can people in cult group grow in holiness and in the purity of doctrine? Because they do not have the true doctrine at all. So, I say that there is this concern that we Christians, this attitude of acceptance of some of the cult groups, taking them as mainstream Christian churches. It is a tragedy to believe that the followers of cults are safe. We must have the burden to reach out to these people as much as to those who do not know Jesus Christ at all. Now, what is the link between chapter 1 and chapter 2 of the second epistle of Peter? We are now coming back to our text. 2 Peter chapter 2, verses 1 to 3. And first of all, we want to look at the link between chapter 1 and chapter 2. When we compare chapter 1 with chapter 2, it is obvious that there is a significant change in the writer's approach. Here, the Apostle Peter warned against false prophets in chapter 2. Chapter 1 is mainly an encouragement to Christians, that Christians should avail themselves of God's power to lead lives of godliness and love. And then chapter 2 now tells us, beware of false prophets because they are out there to destroy the faith of the believers and to destroy the soul of man. Now, what is the link between chapter 1 and chapter 2? Let's turn back to chapter 1, verse 10. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 10. I hope you remember the message preached. It was preached by Preacher Lake, I think, many weeks ago. Huh? We are going through a series of study on the book of 2 Peter. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 10 says, wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to your calling and election, for if you do these things, ye shall never fail. We are told to make our calling and election sure. Now, if you look at the first few verses of chapter 1, you know that Peter was talking about a person's profession of faith. And one's profession of faith must be confirmed by godly living. You see, if you are genuine in your belief in the Lord Jesus Christ, there must be a change in our life. Right? There must be that desire to live godly, a desire to live a life that pleases God. Profession of faith and confirm it by godly living. Now, these two things, Peter calls it a calling and election. So in verse 10, he says, make your calling, make your election sure. He says, give diligence to make your calling and your election sure. It is our duty to put in effort, because Peter says, give diligence. So there must be effort on our part to confirm our faith. You see, we are saved by grace through faith. That's right. Okay. Our faith is sustained by our diligence in spiritual things. We talk about reading the Bible. We talk about prayer. We talk about fellowship. We talk about serving God. You see, these are spiritual exercises that sustain our spiritual life. Now, don't do all these things, and our spiritual life dies. There is something else mentioned by Peter. He says, for if ye do these things, ye shall never fall. Now, what are these things that Peter exhorts us to do? Of course, the things are mentioned in context. If you look at verses 5 to 8 of chapter 1, 2 Peter chapter 1, let me read to you. Verse 5. And beside this, giving all diligence, again, giving all diligence, I want you to underscore the word diligence. Right? Students are to be diligent. In other words, you have to put in effort, right, in your revision, in your doing of your homework and exercises. In our Christian life, give all diligence. Add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. Verse 8, for if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. We are exhorted to grow in spiritual virtues, and they are the least of them. And Peter says, when we do these things, we shall neither be barren, nor shall we fall. And then coming to chapter 2, we are warned of false prophets. What is the connection between chapter 1 and 2? We are told to make our election clear, election sure, so that we will not fall away. Chapter 2 tells us that there are people who wants to see us fall. Now, who are these people? The false prophets. See, when Peter wrote his epistles, there were already false prophets. In fact, false prophets were around for a long, long time. Someone put it in this manner. Whenever there is truth, there is always something that is in direct opposite the false. So you have the true branded bags, and then you have the fake branded bag. You have the true doctrine, and then you get false doctrine. And Peter wants us to be warned. Okay, there's some people who wants to see you fall, and fall in such a manner that is very subtle, secretive, that you don't even know you have fallen. And he says, beware of the false prophets. You see, these false prophets are dangerous people, because they want to destroy you. They want to destroy your life. I will show you some cases later on. The rise of cult poses a serious challenge to the church. The reason is they present several dangers to the church and to the work of the gospel ministry. We are warned against false prophets because, number one, they are secretive and subtle. Look at 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 1. Peter says, but there were false prophets among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who previously shall bring in damnable heresy. I want you to underscore the word previously. The Greek word for previously means to introduce or to bring in something secretly or craftily. The idea of the word is false prophets introduce or bring in false teachings secretly. See, false prophets are never upfront in their words and meaning. And I want you to see how the Lord Jesus described the false prophets. Turn to Matthew chapter 7 and verse 15. Matthew chapter 7, verse 15. The Lord Jesus says, beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. Can you see the comparison between sheep and wolves? They come in sheep's clothing, but in actual fact, they are ferocious wolves. I say that we have to be guarded against the danger of false prophets because they come secretly and subtly. I had an experience with the JWs many years ago. A man and a lady came to my house wanting to share on the subject of heaven, a subject that I think a lot of people love to hear. They were well-groomed, dressed very well, very polite. I told them I'm a Christian. They were delighted. Okay. And they said that they can have Bible study with me at my convenient time. See, I declined the offer. But they were very persistent. I turned them away. But they came back the following week. They claimed to believe in the Bible, in Jesus, and in heaven and hell. You see, they are very deceptive. Because in actual fact, they do not believe the Bible, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, and God, heaven, hell, the belief as we do. We have the King James Bible. The Jehovah's Witness has a Bible called the New World Translation. Okay. And if you turn to the NWT, New World Translation, look at John chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Now, you'll see that all the word gods are in small letter. And this is done deliberately to deny the deity of the Lord Jesus Christ. Who is Jesus to the JW? A man like us. He's a good man, a good prophet. However, he died, like we are buried. Okay. And that's the end. Is there heaven? They have beautiful magazines, okay? Now, whenever you look at JW magazines, they always have this picture of a garden, beautiful butterflies, you know? And then you have children running around, okay? And that is their picture of heaven. Where is their heaven? Here on earth. The heaven is on earth. We are living in what they call the millennium. Heaven on earth. We all know that this cannot be heaven on earth. Right? This is a sin-stained world, a troubled world, a fallen world. we may add it more strongly, a very wicked world. How can this be heaven on earth? But that's what they believe. I want to thank God for the teaching that I had when I was young as a Christian. I was told that the Jehovah's Witnesses are cults, and I was able to reject them. I hope you are instructed concerning cults. You'll be able to identify them and reject them. But I also want to tell you, they'll be very persistent. They'll come back again and again. Why? Because you are a Christian. Remember I said earlier on that Peter warned the church about false prophets because he wants to tell them that there are people out there who wants to make us fall. These are the false prophets. The Christian website I quoted earlier on says this about the deception of cults. It says, the cult does not tell the truth about what it believes and how it operates. It lies, in bracket. For example, Jehovah's Witnesses believe it is okay to lie to non-JWs because they do not deserve to know the truth. The second danger of false prophets, their teaching is destructive. Look at verse 1 again. Verse 1 ends with the word, who privately shall bring in damnable heresy. Now the word damnable simply means destructive. They will bring in destructive heresy. In other words, heresy or heretical teaching that will destroy. Okay, we'll look at the destruction later on. But we want to know, what is the source of false teaching? Well, we have the false prophet teaching falsehood. But then what is the source of these false teachings? We may think that false prophets are misguided, psychopathic people. Some of them maybe, but I believe that their teachings are demonically inspired. Please turn to 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 to 2. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the later times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. You see, there's this seducing spirit, doctrines that comes from the devil. So what is the source of this false teaching? From these verses, we know that the ultimate force behind cults is the evil one. So when we are faced with false teachings or a false prophet, I hope we take the matter seriously. We are not dealing with a mere man. I just said that false teachings comes from the devil, and false prophets are inspired by the evil one. It is a spiritual matter. I remember when I was a student, I have a friend who liked to go and challenge the cults. You know, if someone who is from a cult group comes to him, he will debate. Now he never win. Okay. I'm not saying what he said is not right, right? But what I realize is this, that it is a spiritual warfare. You cannot fight it in the arms of the flesh. You can't win. All right? You can show him everything from the Bible, and the person won't believe. Okay? Well, why? Sometimes it's pride, but many times the evil one is working. So I want to tell you, be very vigilant. And then coming back to verse 1 of 2 Peter chapter 2, there are a few things we are told about the false prophets. The first thing we learn about false prophets is that they are denying the master who bought them. As with most heresies, Jesus Christ is in some way being diminished. Some aspect of his personhood or his work is being denied. Peter did not mention in what aspect the person and the work of Jesus Christ was being denied. But I'm very sure that they have to do with the fundamental doctrines concerning the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to quote from John Piper. I find his commentary on this matter quite interesting. He says, "You get the impression from chapter 2 that the error of the false teachers are error in morality, not doctrine. But the two are never really separate. How you live and how you esteem Christ always rise and fall together. It is possible to live in such a disobedient way that Christ is gone and belittled by our very behavior." That seems to be what was happening here in 2 Peter. You get the gist of what he's saying. We claim to believe in Jesus Christ. But does our life prove that we are obedient to him? See, many times by our action, we deny Christ. It's a sad thing. I hope we be very careful in our life, our action, our speech, our decision. I hope they all prove that we are the children of God. Now, the second thing we learn about the false prophets is this, that many people will follow their pernicious way. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 2. "And many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of." Now the word pernicious in the original language provides a clue to another destructive heresy taught by the false prophet. The word pernicious means licentious, licentiousness. These false prophets promote sexual immorality. There are some indication in the text that, in fact, the false teachers were propagating sexual immorality in the name of Christian freedom. That's why Peter says that many will follow their licentiousness, and the way of truth is evil spoken of. I think this word sheds light to an earlier verse in chapter 1, verse 4. If we look at chapter 1, verse 4, Peter says, "Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust." See, right in the beginning of the second epistle, Peter says we should escape from lust. And we know what he meant when he says escape from lust, right? He's talking about impurities, immorality. And then in chapter 2, it tells us about the false prophets. And they promote licentiousness. In other words, immorality in the aspect of sex. So many people shall follow their pernicious way. That's a sad thing. Many people will follow. In other words, we are going to see more and more people in cult churches or cult groups. Okay? And we are not talking about small numbers. All right? They are big. If the number given to me is right, 2,000 Jehovah Witnesses. But that's a big group. We only have about 300 of us. They have 3,000 people. 2,000 people. What about the other cults? You add them up, the number is big. Many shall follow their pernicious way. Now, the third thing we learn about the cult or the false prophets is this. The way of truth is evil spoken of. You see, the people of the world do not differentiate a true church from a false one. They are not able to. Whenever a Christian church or a Christian cult group commits an offense, the people judge all as guilty. The world speaks harshly against Christians in comparison with other beliefs. The reason is this. Christians are known to uphold to high moral standard. You see, when this moral standard is transgressed, the world says the church, Christians, have done something terribly wrong. So, new lifers, I hope you know how important our Christian conduct is. Let not the way of truth be evil spoken of because of our sin. Now, how destructive is the heresies of the false prophets? First of all, I want to tell you that it destroys the soul of man. In 1 John chapter 5, 11 and 12, this is what John says, and this is the record that God has given to us eternal life. And this life is in his Son. He that had the Son had life, but he that had not the Son of God had not life. See, false teachers do not have the Son of God, and they do not have life. In other words, there is no spiritual life in this people, the false prophets. And when they preach falsehood, people are lost. They remain in their lost condition. And whenever the falsehood is preached, souls of men are destroyed. I want to give you a few examples. Do you remember the People's Temple? Okay, you may not remember. You remember this man, Jim Jones? Well, you may remember the place called Jonestown, Guyana, where 913 people committed mass suicide. In fact, it should be considered as mass murder because it was found out later on that these people who died were actually given poison. Poisons were given to them with a gun pointing on their head. Okay. A terrible cult resulted in the death of over 900 people. See, it destroyed the soul of man. You might not heard of you may not hear of this man by the name of Hobart Freeman. He's an extreme charismatic preacher. You can search it in the internet. Hobart Freeman. He taught the believers that they did not need medicine for illnesses. And he told his followers to throw all their medicines away. And what was the consequence? 52 of his members and he himself died from a curable disease or condition. I think it was last year when our local newspaper reported an incident in UK. A mother who is a JW refused to permit the hospital to transfuse blood for the daughter. Remember the case? See, it destroyed the soul of man. It also destroyed the life of man. It caused a total destruction of a person. This is the danger. And they are extreme. Okay, I mean, we can go on talking about how destructive cults are, right? You read them in paper, you know? Or you just do a search on cults. They are dangerous. Now, there is a third thing about false prophets. We say, first of all, that they are secretive, subtle. And then, now we come to the third point. False prophets exploit their followers. Look at chapter 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 3. The last verse of my text. And through covetousness shall they with feigned words make merchandise of you, whose judgment now of a long lingereth not, and their damnation slumbereth not. Through covetousness, that is greed, shall they with feigned word, the word feigned there means false words, make merchandise of you. Now what does the word make merchandise of you mean? It simply means to exploit. So with falsehood and greed, they exploit the followers. We have enough evidences that people who follow cult have been exploited. Okay, they have to surrender their possession to cult leaders. Alright, their lives is totally controlled by cult leaders. Who you marry, who you divorce. Okay, the house you can buy, the car you can buy, you know, and there are extreme cults that live somewhere in the jungle, high up in a mountain. Says, give up everything, come, follow me. And the promise is, these leaders will take them to heaven. Reverend Moon, the founder of the Moonies, or the Unification Church, died 2 weeks ago. Did you see a picture of his house in the States? It is as big as the White House. And then they had this group of visitors going to visit his house. It's just simply huge. Where did his money come from? Well, it is true that he did invest in many areas. He has businesses. There's no doubt about it, proven. But much of his money comes from his people. There's a condition if you want to join the church. I'll decide who you marry. So the Moonies has this mass wedding, right? Yeah. Okay, Singaporean, I will choose someone from another country. Your spouse could come from Africa, you know, anywhere. And this is decided by that man. And when this is done, don't forget, you have to pay him. Okay. People, the followers are exploited. That's why Peter says they make merchandise of you. Now, I do not want to go on to describe, but you can always read it up for yourself. There are enough evidence that cult leaders exploited their followers. But this is sure. Peter says, whose judgment now of a long time lingereth not, and their damnation slumbereth not. Simply means false prophets will be judged one day. Right, the righteous judge will judge false teachers one day. This tells me that I have to be very careful when I preach. I must be telling you the truth. Because my preaching will be judged one day. Secondly, I want to tell you that you are not spared from false teachers. They come secretly. Right, when someone comes and tell you, I'm a Christian, I want to have a Bible study with you, I hope you can tell the person, I have Bible study in my church. But the question is, are you attending Bible study in church? Sunday school? I hope you do have. Okay, there are MBC groups. Join the Bible study. All right. It will be of great concern if you decide to have a Bible study with a person whose church is anonymous. We are not spared from the onslaught of false prophets. Lastly, I want you to know that it is imperative you know your belief. Once again, I want to say, if you do not know what we believe in, take a copy of our constitution. There's the tenet of our belief there. Read it. If you do not understand, okay, what is written there, please tell us. Tell me. I'll be most glad to take time to explain to you. Don't be deceived by false prophets. May God keep us till he comes. Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you for the warning from your word. May it behooves us well to take heed, lest we become a castaway. Lord, I pray that we will be discerning and pray that we will be active in our church, in our belief, serving you, studying your word, Lord, seeking your face. Lord, help us. I pray that you preserve your people, that we'll be pure and blameless till the day when Jesus Christ comes. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.